Because we are the eternal optimists that you guys know us to be, we're going to identify the main issues plaguing the Colts on the field and tell you what can be done to turn things around. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you, Colts fans, for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs, which helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. This is Jake Arthur alongside Zach Hicks, and you know the two of us from HorseshoeHuddle.com. On today's show, we're going to put on our detective shields and identify the crimes that are causing Colts football to be such a rough neighborhood these days.
I can't believe you called us optimistic. It's not even going to be that optimistic, Jake. I mean, it's going to be.
No, that was purely facetious. There was no seriousness to that.
Yes.
Afterwards, we're going to look in. We're going to look ahead to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs coming to town this Sunday, as they probably look to commit some crimes of their own inside Lucas Oil Stadium.
Oh, man, I ruined your really cool little thing that you were doing there. I jumped in and ruined your whole segue. Oh.
Everyone got it. This is actually going to be an entire crime-related podcast today. Okay. It's going to be Colts meets true crime.
I was going to say, we're not really wearing the right clothes, but we're not wearing like the black clothes and all that stuff.
I actually do have a detective shield under this. It's going to get me a lot of trouble.
There you go.
Anyways, offense. Zach, what is the root issue of the Colts offensive issue so far? It's been two games, very pedestrian. They came alive in the fourth quarter of week one, but that's obviously too late. The Texans defense is okay, but not that great. The Jaguars defense, Washington shredded them the week before featuring Carson Wentz. And then the Colts literally could not breathe at all in week two against them, a complete shutout. What's going on?
Yeah, no, the biggest issue on the Colts offense right now, it's the offensive line. And I feel like I'm kind of, this is a family podcast, I'm eating crap right now when it comes to, I felt pretty confident about the Colts offensive line going into this year. I felt at right guard they had downgraded. I certainly thought Danny Pinter was a downgrade from Chris Reed and Mark Lewinsky. I just thought those two guys were better than Danny Pinter. But I thought it would be at least fine there. And then at left tackle, I thought they upgraded for sure, because how much worse could it be from Eric Fisher from last season? Eric Fisher, as I've said multiple times this offseason, was a traffic cone at left tackle. And while I do think Matt Pryor has been marginally better than Eric Fisher from last year, it has not been good at all. And those aren't the only guys, too. I don't want to just single out Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter right now, because Quentin Nelson, I think, has been solid, but he hasn't been all pro Quentin Nelson. I think Ryan Kelly's been below average through 2 weeks, and Braden Smith's been arguably the worst link on this offensive line through 2 weeks. So right now you have an entire offensive line that's playing so disjointed, that's playing so – I mean, I think Marcus Brady talked about today that these guys aren't playing five-man football. And offensive line play, it's a connected unit. It's the most connected unit in all of football, where if one guy struggles, it could tear down the entire unit. But right now, we're not just getting one guy struggling. We're getting guys across this entire line struggling. And when you have the highest paid offensive line in all of football, that's a huge, huge issue. So right now, if I had to point out the root issue of the Colts' offensive woes right now, it's that offensive line. Because, I mean, there were times this past weekend where, yes, the receivers were not getting open, and the receivers were an issue because they were down their top two guys. But Matt Ryan couldn't even get to his first read on a lot of these plays. Jonathan Taylor had no room to breathe whatsoever until the fourth quarter when it was garbage time. Like, there was nothing going up front. And the Colts lost the trench battle from minute one of this game, and they were just getting blown off the ball the entire game. And, again, this is the highest paid offensive line in football, and it's the root issue of a lot of the mistakes on offense right now.
Yeah, it was a typical Colts Jaguars game. You can follow a script for it like every single time. Just to give even some more backstory to this, I was looking through Pro Football Focus, which their metrics aren't gospel by any means, but it can give some general context to things. Right now, the Colts are 25th. Their offensive line is 25th in pass protection, graded just 55.3, which is well below average. Braden Smith, and again, these are in Pass Pro specifically, Braden Smith ranks 45th out of 61 qualifying offensive tackles in pass protection. Matt Pryor is 51st, and Danny Penner is 55th out of 62 guards. So all three of those guys they're beyond among the worst starters. They're among the worst starters and the rotational guys that are coming into play for them. Like, it's bad. And you mentioned Quentin Nelson has been adequate, but not himself. And I was thinking about that. I think a lot of it has to do with how the guys around you are playing too.
Right.
I think in order for Quentin Nelson to enter God mode, like we're used to seeing him in, he has to have really good play around him. He's always going to be good himself, but it takes a group for him to reach that other level, which is totally understandable. And speaking of Quentin, he's the only one on the offensive line who is even remotely close to being rated as an above average run blocker. Yeah. He ranks sixth among all NFL guards right now in run blocking grade. So right now, no one's other than Quentin, really no one is receiving favorable grades in things. And a big thing this week has been, well, do you make any changes? It's a really tough spot because the offensive line, we've talked about this before, offensive line play early in the NFL season is pretty rough across the board in general, especially when you're plugging in two new starters. There's a lot of chemistry and things like that that go into it and some meshing together. But I think at a certain point you can identify when some guys just ain't it. And so it does beg the question, you know, Matt Pryor, do you pull him for Bernard Raimann? They've already been rotating him, which I'm not an enormous fan of rotating offensive linemen.
Like, no.
That messes with the chemistry already. But Ryman's getting some snaps in there every so often on certain drives. And then Danny Pinter, getting him pulled out at right guard and plugging Pryor in there at right guard, or Will Fries. You know, there's a lot of shuffling that can be done. And Marcus Brady, the offensive coordinator, was asked about that today. And he basically said, right now, no, they're not doing that. But if they do, we'll see. So it could randomly come up 2 weeks from now. We see one or two new starters on a game day and we won't even know about it.
Yeah. Now, we promised you guys that we would identify the issue and talk about some solutions. And Jake mentions one right there where, you know, you could just change the personnel. But again, the Colts traditionally have not done that. I mean, even early last year, Julian Davenport got way too many games than what he should have. You know, and one game was too many. I think he got a couple others too at right tackle before they inserted Matt Pryor into that lineup. Eric Fisher down the stretch, we knew that he could not handle the left tackle jobs, and Matt Pryor was playing well in reserve, and they kept giving Eric Fisher the snap. So the Colts just really don't make too many changes because, again, at the end of the day, this is a group of five. This is about chemistry. And even if you have a better player on the bench in Bernard Raimann or Will Fries, they didn't have that whole offseason with the starters. The mistake was there in the offseason potentially where they didn't get those first team reps and you're kind of behind the eight ball. So I don't know if or when we'll see a change at right guard or at left tackle, but I do think it is something that's a possible fix to this. Another possible fix is making a change at offensive line coach. I know a lot of people have talked about that. Chris Stroster, I think 2020 was a phenomenal year under his tutelage, but since then this offensive line has really not been all it's been hyped up to be. A lot of players have regressed. So is Chris Strasser the guy that you kind of get rid of for that? That is one way they could go about it. I think it would take a couple more really awful showings for that to happen, but I wouldn't rule that out in season. You know, again, the Colts typically don't fire head coaches in season, but positional coaches, I think, you know, it's kind of fair game. And the last one, and this is the one I think is the most important, these guys just need to play better. Like, that's the solution to this. These guys need to play better. They need to develop chemistry. And again, they need to start playing like the top paid offensive line in football. That's what they are. And again, Ryan Kelly has been solid. You want to see him be better, but whatever. He's been fine. Quentin Nelson has been good. Not great, but good. Braden Smith's the big one here. You need Braden Smith to play like Braden Smith. Like, he's been terrible this year. You need him to at least be above average with that contract he's getting. So, I mean, there are a lot of ways that this offensive line can better itself. But I think at the end of the day, the one that we're going to have to hope happens is that these guys just start playing up to their talent level. I know that's not the us coming up with this amazing solution or anything like that, but that's really what we got to bank on right now, is these guys getting back to their talent level and actually playing good football like they're capable of doing. Because right now, through 2 weeks, we have not seen that. And the schedule gets a lot harder in terms of pass rushes they're going against.
Yeah, absolutely. And just some more detail on it. Like, if you're wondering, you know, what about them isn't working? Obviously, they're missing routine stuff. And it was, again, something else Marcus Brady talked about, like twists and stunts and stuff. Like, that's not just a physical thing. That's diagnosis and like seeing things develop. And three of the five guys on this line are really, really experienced. And Matt Pryor, he's maybe a newer starter, but he's played plenty of ball. Danny Pinter still doesn't get a pass because he's played plenty as well. I mean, he's obviously the youngest as a player in the group, but yeah, they're missing routine things that are fundamental parts of offensive line play.
Right.
Yeah. So far this week, there's been a lot of talk about the potential for people to be changing jobs in the Colts organization. But if you are planning to change jobs or looking to fill some of your own vacant positions, you ought to hit up LinkedIn Jobs. As you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it a lot easier to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? It's a lot of people. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, guys. The Colts finally have some sort of home field advantage this Sunday. Week three, they have their first home game against the Chiefs. And you too can have a home field advantage, especially if you go to homefieldapparel.com and check out their new Colts collection. That's right. The apparel company out of Indy has their new six-piece Colts collection that's red hot right now and flying off the digital shelves. They've got two shirts, a hoodie, a crew neck, a pair of joggers, and a pretty slick jacket. Zach and I actually enjoy our new merch so much that we've gone back and checked out the collection ourselves for some of our friends and family. Go to homefieldapparel.com and get your items for 15% off at checkout by entering the promo code LockedOnColts. All right, Zach, it's not just been offense that's been a little bit of a bummer. It's also the defense. And like Marcus Brady spoke today, so did Gus Bradley, kind of answered for some of the issues. There's a few things you can point at here. You know, obviously the pass rush hasn't been great. There's probably some reasons for that we'll get to. It's a brand new scheme in general. We're two games into it. Some players have pointed at that. They just need to get used to things. But overall, what is your biggest issue with the defense right now that you think is causing these problems?
Yeah, no, I think the root issue right now on defense is just it's kind of been ugly, this change to this scheme right now. And I, you know, to a degree, I think we kind of expected this. For me personally, I expected the talent on this defense to kind of hide that a little bit early in the season. Obviously, Shaquille Leonard is out, and that's a huge difference. But I expected the talent in the trenches and the talent in the secondary to kind of hide that a little bit. And we really haven't seen that. Now, as of right now, we have defensive linemen. You know, the defensive ends are kind of getting whopped in the run game a little bit. You know, they're kind of knocked around the run game, where you want to see them more aggressive and more attacking. Going to the linebackers, they're missing so many assignments. And the middle of the field is just wide open right now with these linebackers. And again, when Shaquille Leonard comes back, it's going to change a little bit. But Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed and even Bobby Okereke a little bit too have just not looked comfortable whatsoever in matching and in their zone drops and their depth that they're supposed to get. I mean, the linebackers have been the root issue, honestly, if we're talking to position group. But again, this is a bigger issue. The safety play has not been good. The safeties are not adjusting to where they're supposed to be on the field. They're not making plays in the ball. Julian Blackman dropped an interception in this past game. And then the corner play, I think Brandon Faison has been fine. Like, he's been perfectly fine. And honestly, I think overall, Stephon Gilmore has been okay. He had a weaker week two than he had in week one. But I think for the most part, he's been fine. It's just Kenny Moore, a guy who has traditionally been in that cover two scheme with Matt Eberflus. Now he's transitioning to more of that cover three scheme with Gus Bradley. And it's been a tough transition for him. So I think overall, all these guys who are kind of transitioning to a brand new scheme they've never been in before, it has just been a very, very ugly transition. Outside of Grover Stewart. Grover Stewart's been awesome. But outside of Grover Stewart, it has been an ugly, ugly transition, and the talent on this defense has not really covered up for that transition yet. And I'm not even saying this to, let Gus Bradley off the hook. There are some things I really think Gus Bradley needs to be better at, like rotations on this defense. Why is Isaiah Rogers Sr. and Dio Dangbo, why are they not getting more snaps? They need to be out there a little bit more, keep your starters fresh, and get these talented guys on the field. And why are they dropping so far off the ball on a lot of these situations? Again, these players should be reading the quicker pass and coming down from their cover three zones and stuff like that and their drops. But it's still something like, why don't you adjust to more cover one and more man coverage? So I think it's just kind of been an ugly, ugly mesh right now of talent not playing up to their ability, the scheme not being great, and also the players not adjusting to the scheme. So I would still circle the root issue is that just an ugly melding of those things right now, which I guess isn't a nice way of saying it's a lot of things. But I do think overall the defense, I actually saw this going around a lot from a lot of beat writers even. A lot of people think the defense is closer than the offense. And I think on offense, it's really, for me, it's just if the offensive line can protect, I think the offense can be a lot better. On defense, you got to see these guys starting to adjust better to the scheme. And I think that's a tougher hurdle right there. Mm-hmm. And when you face a tougher offense like the Kansas City Chiefs, like we're about to talk about, I think you're really going to see some issues exposed on this defense. So, again, maybe Shaq Leonard comes back this week and it looks a little bit better. But right now, the talent's not kind of holding up that floor on the defense while the defense is trying to figure things out in this new scheme.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that part of it alone should get better, like as guys just get more comfortable and learn where their teammates are supposed to be, this and that. Because, again, a lot of these guys have been around in this system for Matt Eberflus's entirety or, you know, a few years at least. So they're totally used to something else. But the rotation part you mentioned, that's a really good point because it was after the first unit, it was really hard to keep track of the depth chart during training camp because there was so much rotation. So you naturally assume, oh, okay, they're doing this because there's going to be a ton of rotation during the season. There's none. There's almost none.
No rotation.
Like, and it's weird because I get not rotating corners or like linebackers and defensive backs play almost 100% of the game. So that makes a lot of sense. But your defensive linemen, like, how are you not rotating your defensive line? Like, that's been something Chris Ballard has talked about since the day he got in Indianapolis.
It's something that Gus Bradley's always done too. Gus Bradley's always done it. I don't know what's going on.
Do they hate their depth guys? Like, I don't that's got to be it. I mean, I'm not going to say they hate their depth guys, but like if they had trust in anyone other than Tyquan Lewis, you would think guys would be getting snaps because every team rotates their defensive line. So I don't really understand that. As far as Isaiah Rogers, I don't know if that's a comfortability thing with the scheme. I mean, obviously his main competition was Brandon Faison. You know, Gus Bradley's had Brandon Faison, what you said, 4 years, I think. Mm-hmm. He's had him for a long time. So obviously there's a comfort level there. So that probably poses a decent roadblock for Rodgers getting on the field. Bradley today basically said, you know, he's doing great in practice, but
awfully good. He said he's doing awfully good. Awfully and it freaked me out when I read it because I thought he was saying that he's been awful.
You didn't see the good part.
I was so panicked for a second. He's been awful good in practice. And I'm like, can you use a different word than awful good?
Right. A little misreading there. But I mean, he said there's a possibility for him to get more playing time this week with a more spread out offense that deploys more receivers like the Chiefs do. But man, I don't. Good players got to get on the field, man. And he's one of your best. He's one of your best ball hawks. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think the last thing I want to add to this segment, because again, we said we were going to identify issues and talk about potential ways to fix it. I think getting Shaquille Leonard back will help a lot, and I do think DeForest Buckner kind of becoming DeForest Buckner again, Yannick Ngakoue being what he's capable of, will help a lot. But I think at the end of the day, this defense is just going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time, and I do think there will be some issues that persist throughout the whole season. Like we talked about a lot in the offseason, Gus Bradley's scheme is far from perfect, and there's going to be some issues. But it really is a time thing. I talked to a coach, a defensive coach, not too long ago, who is experienced, obviously, with cover twos and cover threes. And it's really hard to get your mindset into the matching system when it's kind of your first time exposed to it. So there's going to be some ugly moments, and this Sunday might be one of them. But I do think with time, this defense will kind of figure it out, at least become more average and or more like above average, and rather than kind of what we've seen these first 2 weeks. But, you know, we all know that opposing quarterbacks right now have the potential to be money against the Colts while they're still figuring things out. And you can make some money of your own by looking at this week's matchup between the Colts and Chiefs. The Chiefs are only 6.5-point betting favorites in this one. And the over under is 49.5. So, I mean, if you're pretty confident in the Colts losing big to the Chiefs, or if you're really confident in the Colts covering, you know, whatever way you want to go with that, we're not going to influence your decision. You know, be happy in what you do. But betonline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, including game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's week 3 slate of games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and even golf.
You like the font on that?
I see. You changed it. There you go. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Do we want to talk about the Chiefs a little bit today? Do we want just a little bit?
We're going to be talking plenty about them. So let's start. We're going to have a crossover on the next show. So let's dive into Chiefs week a little bit.
Let's do it. Now, let me start with something somewhat optimistic about for the Colts before it becomes all pessimistic and sad. I went back and watched a little bit of that Thursday game with the Chiefs, and I don't think their offense looks as scary as it has.
Without Tyreek Hill, it's a big relief.
And Asante Samuel Jr. could have made Pat Mahomes' stat line look atrocious in that game if he just comes down with a couple more interceptions. I mean, he dropped a lot of them. So I do think this Chiefs offense is a little more volatile than in years past. But now getting more to the pessimistic side. So that was literally the only thing I could say optimistic. The Chiefs are really good, and they have an alien at quarterback. Yeah. And we saw with Matt Eberflus's defense, again, Gus Bradley's defense might be a little different, but with Matt Eberflus's defense, whenever the Colts went against a real quarterback, like a legit quarterback, it got ugly. And again, this is a different defense, but from what we've seen through 2 weeks, it might get pretty ugly against the alien that is Pat Mahomes. And something I want to throw out there is Pat Mahomes in 2 games last year against Gus Bradley's Raiders defense, the Chiefs scored 90 points combined in those 2 games for an average of 45 points per game. Pat Mahomes was electric in those 2 games. So,
you know, so much.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, again, having Shaq Leonard back might help, but the Colts are in for a tough. If the Colts thought Trevor Lawrence and Davis Mills were pretty tough, I think Pat Mahomes is going to be a little bit tougher, just slightly tougher this week.
He's literally a monster.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about like a guy who's, if he retired right now, he'd probably be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's got an MVP, he's got a Super Bowl MVP, he's got a Super Bowl championship. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about a freaky quarterback. He's not without some faults or whatever, but I mean, Pat Mahomes is top tier quarterback with a really good offensive line, some weapons on offense, and honestly a defense that I think has been kind of underrated throughout this little Chiefs. I don't want to call it dynasty, but this little Chiefs success window of the last couple of years, you know?
Yeah, this is obviously a game where they're going to have to catch a couple breaks, and I think the opportunity is there. I mean, you look at like Marquez Valdes-Scantling; he's dangerous and could stretch the field, but he has been known to have the dropsies every now and then. I think Trey Smith gave up, you know, a couple good plays to opponents on the offensive line last week, or maybe it was combined the last couple weeks. But regardless, he's a rookie, I believe. But yeah, you're going to need some things to break your way because, I mean, the Chiefs are obviously 2-0. They're a top five offense in yards and scoring. Defensively, they're middle of the road pretty much everywhere. So I think the Colts will be fine on offense. Like, as long as they're – it's such a tough thing because it's like, as long as you do your job, you'll be fine and quit making all the mistakes. But no, like, seriously, as long as the Colts aren't, like, imploding on inside themselves again, like, they should be fine on offense. Like, really the only thing that the Chiefs are even close to really exceptional at is they rank sixth on third down defense. So they get
off
the field.
Which is one of the most important metrics.
It is, which to me reads like they get nice pressure on third downs is what that sounds like. So it's probably, you know, I'd probably rely pretty heavily on Jonathan Taylor in this one. You know,
more than nine touches or whatever it was last week.
In the first half, yeah, in the first half. But, I mean, they do have a couple guys that can get after it. So, like, the Colts offense, again, should be fine, but they're not. It's not going to be scot-free. Like, Chris Jones and Michael Dana are both doing a really good job. Chris Jones he seems to get left out of the conversation among high-end interior guys, but he's very much in the conversation.
Right.
They're a pretty good team. On offense, it's probably more balanced now that you don't have Tyreek Hill because they're very dependent on that type of stuff. So now you have to spread the ball around more, but it's very much Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster is really good. Mecole Hardman can do some things. I like that running back group, though. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, or however you say his last name. He looked nice in week one, so they've got guys obviously in spots all around, but it could be a bloodbath, but I think it's more likely to be closer to a shootout than it is going to look like the first three quarters of week one or the entirety of week two. Yeah. I think the Colts could get up into the high 20s or maybe even 30 in points.
They might get in the high teens this week, guys. They might get to like 17 points and we'll be pumped. Yeah.
I mean, you see that personnel and you know they're capable of it. I mean,
maybe it's
crazy to think that they couldn't put up some sort of points. I mean, the Chiefs defense is not, you know, they're not a juggernaut by any means.
Let me end this podcast, this episode, because we've been so negative this week. Let me end this on a positive thing about Colts, about Frank Reich era, I guess kind of the Chris Ballard era as well, is, and I kind of said this, I think, yesterday's podcast, where you have the Colts traditionally with this regime, with this coaching staff, with this GM, with these players, they are terrible when they're expected to win. They're terrible when the expectations are there. But when they're the underdogs and they're counted out and you have the fan base railing against them, calling them terrible, and they look awful, that is when they typically come out to play. We saw it in 2019 when they came out and beat the Chiefs shorthanded with Jacoby Brissett. Now, I'm not saying that there were not a lot of things going the Colts' way. There were factors. But, I mean, again, we saw it last year, too, against the Cardinals when they had no players really healthy in that game. They came out and won. Against the Packers, I think, in 2020 with Phillip Rivers, they came out in the second half and had that huge comeback to win that game. Now, this team, again, for all the issues that we've been talking about with the way it's been constructed and with the coaching and all that, they are a never die type of team. And that's why I don't think they'll bottom out. And I'm not saying that they're going to come out and beat the Chiefs, but it wouldn't shock me if they came out and threw a couple good haymakers in there, because again, they're that kind of team that just is never out of it. They're always throwing punches back. So again, I don't see a way they win this game. I think across the board, the Chiefs are just a better team and just better coached and more together right now. But is that a lawnmower outside my house?
I think so.
Anyway, I think that the Colts could throw some punches in there and make it a little competitive. But Yeah, that's something positive to say after this week of not much positive from us.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win, but I do think people will feel a little better about them after next week, because I think they'll all they need to do is show signs of life, honestly. Like, do something productive early and show signs of life throughout the game and don't just get completely smothered. If they do that, then they'll look a lot better, honestly. Again, they don't even have to win. No one expects them to. But there are some Chiefs people I've seen that have this marked as a trap game, which that makes sense.
That's when you know you're a bad team, when people call you the trap game.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the Jags and Houston were both trap games for the Colts until we realized the Colts are their own trap game.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's it for us, everyone. Before we go, Zach and I just wanted to shout out the clothing company Homage. They were nice enough to send us these shirts featuring one of the Colts' true stars, Jonathan Taylor. It's a kind of an arcade NFL Blitz style design. If you like that shirt, head to homage.ge/Colts and grab this shirt or any of their other several Colts themed items that they've got. I was on there earlier checking out. It's pretty cool. They've also got a pretty nice jacket as well. But shoot, yeah. I mean, people, you guys are sending us your shirts. If you're listening and you want us to model your beautiful shirts on our beautiful bodies, I mean.
Clothing brands. Yeah. Make this body your easel or whatever. You can.
Yeah, not just a guy that wrote Daryl on a white shirt and sent it to us. No.
I will wear that. If you send it to me, I will wear
Daryl. I'm not wearing that.
Daryl, I will wear your shirt. I feel like that's a personal experience that you got there.
No, I just like to paint a story with my words.
Be sure to follow us on social media at Jack Arthur NFL, at Zach Hicks 2, and at Locked On Colts on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube. Again, the comment sections have been lively in recent days. So
as the kids say, it's bussing in there, guys.
You're too old for this, man. It's
I am. Bussing.
And wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. And thanks for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow.